Okay, today is April 1st, the 7th day of the month of Nisan. This is the Women's Chumash Share. We are in the middle of Parshat Nitzavim, Dvarim Chavtet. Okay, Rabotai, we're in the middle of Perek Chavtet, and we had read through Pasuk Chafei, and just to briefly capsulize that which Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you remember correctly, God once again warned us about Avodah Zarah. An individual or an entire shevet will say, you know what, I'm immune. Nothing's going to happen to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very angry, will obliterate that person or that family. And then we continue the Chaf Aleph, that the subsequent generations will come and say, boy, look at this vast destruction. What could have prompted God to be so angry? And the response is, because you left his covenant, you went and worshipped gods that are not gods. And v'lo chalak lahem. Yeah. Before we continue, just one interesting observation of the Meshech Chachma. The emphasis seems to be in the psukim that we read. Look at Chaf Bet, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Bet, Chaf Gimel. What is the thrust, or where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger directed?
The land.
The land. And not at?
People.
The people. Correct. Says Meshech Chachma. There is a very famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbat that describes Am Yisrael's acceptance at Sinai as coerced. Coerced. Even though the text has no reference to it whatsoever, it does seem to say that we accepted the covenant willingly, Na'aseh V'Nishma. Nonetheless, the Gemara, the Midrash, paints a completely different portrait. The imagery that is corrected is Kafa Aleihem Har Kigigit, that God placed the mountain upon them like a barrel. And he told them, if you accept it, fine and dandy. If not, Shom Tehei Kivuratcha, this is going to be your burial place. Now that's a very different type of an approach. And the Gemara says, based on that, Moda'a Rabba Le'oraita. This was a public defense of Am Yisrael. Why is it a public defense of Am Yisrael? Because when you're forced to do something, you're generally not held accountable for the consequences. You're an ones, you've been coerced, duress. So up until now, based on the fact that there was this element of duress, God's anger is not directed at the people. It's only directed at the land itself. However, just one second, let me finish the thought. However, later on, when Am Yisrael will accept the Torah willingly, when does the Gemara finish that thought and say, at what time in history?
Purim.
At Purim. Kimu v'kiblu. We went ahead and sustained and validated our commitment. There it was no longer under duress. And that's when, claims the Meshech Chachma, things are going to change. Under those circumstances, it will be, if one goes ahead and abandons one's commitment, then the wrath of God is directed against people, not as much against the land. And therefore, he writes here that there is so much emphasis on the land, the land, the land, based on the fact that up until now, we have this extenuating excuse that, you know what, I didn't accept this willingly. This was forced upon me. Now, the observation that the emphasis on the land is a good one. I don't know if that's the most compelling explanation for it, but that's what the Meshech Chachma says, yes.
Well, there was something recently, in the last couple of weeks, about something about recently where they accepted, they re-accepted whatever they had accepted at Sinai. We talked about the two klalot, and bracha and klalot.
Right. That's correct. That's correct. Again, the text, you're 100% right. The text has
even if it was under duress now, but
no indication whatsoever. This is a medrash, and the medrash is the Gemara quotes it, and it's very much against the flow of the psukim. I grant you that.
Also,
yes.
Also, if you're condemning the land, the people then are suffering, dying from starvation anyway.
Okay, but the alternative is to be exiled. So you will be able to live physically out of the land due to the fact that the land was barren. And in effect, there is some degree of truth to that. Because we don't have real statistics that when the Jews were exiled into Babylonia, that too many people died. There isn't, the text tells us that we went to Babel, but nobody was massacred, nobody was...
Prospered.
What?
They prospered.
Correct. Because they were given that opportunity outside of the land, and therefore God's anger was directed against the land itself. So it does have some truth to it from that perspective. Let's continue. Pasuk Chava. I'm going to read now till the end of the unit, or almost to the end of the unit. Chavav till Pasuk Lamed, till the end of the parak. Vayichar af Hashem v'aretz ahi. God's anger was pronounced or noticed in this land. Lahavi aleha et kol haklala haktuva b'sefer hazeh. To bring upon it all of the curses that have been written in this book. Vayichem Hashem me'al admatam. God has separated his people from their land. Be'af. Uvechema, uvechetzef gadol, with anger, and anger, and anger, great anger, vayashlichem el eretz acheret, hayom hazeh, and he threw them to another land. What? That's a good question. What does that mean, kayom hazeh? What does that mean, kayom hazeh? It's a very good question. Rashi ignores it. I don't have a good answer. What does that mean, kayom hazeh? Unless it's, according to some, this is simply a prophecy happening, focusing on the exile. That is, as if the prophecy is being recognized. At the time of the exile, you will see that what happened. You have kayom hazeh. You have been exiled to this land. You're still alive. And the only thing that has happened is you've been stripped of your gift of Eretz Yisrael. So it's talking in prophetic terms, as if when you reach that particular point in time, you'll be able to see it unfolding in front of you today.
It would make sense for what you're saying, but it doesn't make sense to all the other generations, not to mention anyone that's hearing it for most of
them. What do you mean?
That would make sense when you're in or about to go into exile.
Right. But this is Moshe's, right, but this is
Moshe's,
correct, but here he's giving a prophetic vision, and he hopes that every parent will tell this to his child, say, look, if you're going to what? Abandon the oath, abandon the bridge, this is what's going to happen to, and then in one generation it unfortunately became realized, but it's a good question.
And why is the Lamed larger?
In Vayashlichem, I'm not sure. Don't know. Not sure. It's a good. I don't know. Now this unit ends in a most famous way, and we're going to spend a lot of time on it. Hanistarot Lashem Elokeinu. Vahaniglot Lanu Ulvanenu Adolam La'asot et kol divrei ha'Torah hazot. The hidden things are to God. Those which are visible are for us. La'asot et kol divrei ha'Torah hazot. So let's take a look at Rashi. And Rashi has one interpretation. And then I remind you something I've told you 50 times, but I finally found a Chizkuni that says the same thing about the function of the dot. It's correct. I'm going to show you what it means, because Tuni supports what the Rav suggested. Let's take a look at Rashi. Hanistarot Lashem Elokei. Im tomru ma biyodeinu la'asot. What can we possibly do when we notice people acting inappropriately? Is it my fault that you're going ahead and worshiping Avodah Zarah? Is it my fault? Says Rashi. Ata ma'anish et harabim al huhure yachid. God, you seem to be what? Punishing everybody for the sentiment expressed by a couple of people. What was the sentiment expressed? In what pasuk? In pasuk, it was In Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pen yesh bachem ish, isha, mishpacha o shevet. Who's talking about suggesting that we accept idolatrous practice? Who? A man, a woman, a family, a tribe. But it's not all of us. So why is God destroying the whole land just because of a couple of people? So he now amplifies the question. I'll read it again. Atam ba'anish et harabim al huhurei hayachid. You, God, seem to be punishing collective punishment. We hear that a lot. Collective punishment for the inappropriate thoughts of the individual. It says, that is, it is written, pen yesh bachem ish, o isha. Ve'achar kach v'ra'u et makot ha'aretz ahi. You will see how God has destroyed this entire land. How can I be responsible, just one second, for what? For what you're doing? I can't be responsible for what you're doing. Answers God. Ein ani ma'anish etchem al hanistarot. That is true. I, God, says, I am not going to punish you based on what you can't see. So if you decide in your closet, in your living room, to worship Avodah Zarah, I'm not going to be held accountable. Because I can't know what's doing in your house, and I'm not responsible for what's doing in your house. Vehu yifra me'oto yachid. And he, God, will seek vengeance just from that family. Aval haniglot. But if it's what galui, if it's visible, if the single family decides to act inappropriately in public, lanu ulivanenu livaer hara mikirbenu. It is our collective responsibility to eradicate the inappropriate behavior from within our midst. What? Right. So that's for the niglot. Back to you. That's correct. And if we choose not to extract justice for those who what? Who are guilty? Ye anshu harabim. Rashi here posits an incredibly important law, a very important principle, that we all have a collective responsibility for one another. So if you don't know of my failures, of my inappropriate behavior,
effect, Hanisgaros Hashem Elokeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. He will not seek vengeance against you if you do not respond to my activities which are done binistar. But if it's niglot, it's manu l'vanei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to have to judge these people. It's your responsibility to judge. And if you don't judge them and eradicate the evil within your midst, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides massive punishment against everybody. So there will be those who will be punished as a result of the fact that they transgress, and there will be those who will be punished because they refuse to obliterate the transgressor. And that's something which we don't always think about. That if I have an opportunity to bring a criminal to justice, and I refuse to do so, I don't bring them to court, I don't try to prosecute and have the law do what it's supposed to do, I suffer the repercussions. So that's how Rashi interprets it. Lanu ulavaneinu, but hanistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu.
Only for Avodah
Zarah? This seems to be an Avodah Zarah. That's correct. Now Rashi addresses why are there dots on the word Lanu Ulevaneinu. Nakud Alanu Ulevaneinu Lidrosh to Darshan Sha'af Al Haniglot Lo Anashe Tarabim Atche Avru Tayardain. This is to teach us that for this generation, the one standing right here, out of Israel, God's not going to punish anybody. There is no responsibility upon us to do anything. For the people who are standing right here, Lanu Ulevaneinu, who is in charge? Hashem Elokeinu. That for Lanu Ulevaneinu, us standing right here, it's only L'Hashem Elokeinu. Until when? Ad sha'avru et ha'yardein, mishikibu aleim et hashbua b'har grisim b'har revo, v'na'asu arevim ze lo ze. We studied at the beginning of, in the middle of Parshat Ki Tavo, we discussed the covenant that was made at Har Grizim and Har Revo. Remember, six tribes went up on one mountain six times, and Moshe turned and he said, he told, this is going to happen in Yoshua's time. Cursed be the group who does this and does this, very nice. Blessed be the one who does this, very nice. At that time, says Rashi, the principle that was established is the principle of Arevut. What's that Arevut?
A guarantor.
Correct. The symbolism associated with going up on Har Gerizim and having some face this way and some face this way is to, what symbol are you trying to create? That we're responsible for one another. That's what Arevut means. I'm a guarantor. And Arev in halachic literature is a cosigner for a loan. That's what he is. Because he guarantees the loan. So too, in this context of Har Gerizim and Har Eval, something was added. It at Sinai, the only thing that I did was accept responsibility upon myself. I did not accept responsibility for you. I only accepted responsibility for myself. Added at Har Gerizim and Har Eval is the concept of Arevut. And from that point on, what will God decide to do? That if you don't react to the inappropriate behavior of certain people, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He punishes the entire group simply for failure to react. But that is only going forward. Up until now, those people standing right here, Lanu Ulevaneinu, is still Hashem Elokeinu. Why? Because the formal acceptance of this principle of Arevut has not yet transpired. Can you give me a classic halachic example of the principle of Arevut in a positive sense?
Well, what about when you make it? If you are, you know, say,
So give me, you're on the right track, but what is it? No, Shemei Kohen is the prince of, that's not Arivut. Arivut is, if I've made Kiddush already. I made Kiddush already. Can I now repeat the Kiddush and discharge your responsibility? The answer is yes. A Baal Tokeya blew shofar already. Why can he blow shofar again? Because of the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevin Zelozeh. We're all guarantors. So to some extent, he's still Mechuyav Bidavar. He's still obligated to blow the shofar. Because the principle is, if you're not obligated, you cannot discharge someone's responsibility. Mm-hmm. Right? You're not obligated. For example, if you wanted to sound the shofar for me, you could not. Because you're not obligated in the midst of shofar. So the halacha asks the question, if a guy blew already, he's not obligated. So why can he blow the shofar for somebody else? He's not mechuyav bidavar. The answer is that because of the principle of arevut, he is mechuyav. My responsibility is not only to blow shofar for myself, but to make sure that everybody blows shofar. And therefore, in a positive sense, I am mechuyav and I can discharge someone's responsibility. The negative is the consequences here. That if you don't react to somebody's inappropriate behavior, if you don't take the steps to eradicate it, then God will hold you equally as accountable as if you yourself engaged in transgression. That's a very powerful concept. The dots are designed to say that this generation, is still Hashem Elokeinu. Because this generation has not yet accepted that principle. That was the symbolism generated by Grizim and Eval, standing there facing at each other, each one saying, I'm responsible for you, you're responsible for me.
Okay, so is this concept of Arihut based on Rashi's interpretation of this?
No, the principle is developed elsewhere, but Rashi claims it's being referenced here.
Okay.
Being referenced here. Yeah.
I think I know why Rashi said that. Because if you look at the words, one of my name is just 10 letters.
Okay. Okay, so Chizkuni, it's a good point, but Chizkuni will make another point about why there are 11 dots and there are only 10 letters on Lanu Levanei. I'll get to it in 1 second. In fact, I distributed the Chizkuni to everybody. Please take a look at Chizkuni. If you didn't get the sheet, there you go.
There you go, 20 sheets.
Is this the same sense that we have in mind when we say
this in Rosh
Hashanah? In the Bidui? We're going to see. He's going to make reference to that. Okay. Interesting how Trump plays a role in this. Correct. We'll see. We shall see. So let's read Chizkuni's remarks. It starts on... yeah. It starts on page Resh Nun Bet where it says Lanu Levaneinu. Everybody have it?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll switch to page Resh Nun Bet. Chizkuni on the left hand side, second to the last line, and he says Nakud Alanu Levaneinu Lomar Shemisha Avru Tayardein V'Kiblu HaTorah V'Na'asu Arevin Zelozeh. Very much like Rashi, that when they crossed the Yarden and they accepted the Torah, not just accepted the Torah for themselves, but for others as well. Flip over the page now, and you'll have it on the bottom. Af hanistarot lanu levaneinu. Whoa. Af hanistarot lanu levaneinu. What does that mean? That after I accept this covenant of responsibility for one another, not only am I held accountable for when you publicly, engage in transgression, but even if you do so quietly in the confines of your own household, I am held accountable. And I have to be so involved in your life that I should know what happens in your house. That's what he says.
V'im toimar, im kain, hu dimimatina nistarot mil Hashem Elokeinu. If that's the case, what is the function of the dot? Chizkuni, what's the function?
Why are they dot on Lalu Levanei? Because he's shifting the nistarot from whom?
From Hashem to Lanu Levanei. That's the way Chizkuni is learned. Just the opposite of Rashi. Rashi said that until we come to Grisim and Evol, even the niglot go to whom? Who is in charge of punishing? Lashem Elokeinu. Okay, let's just, again, Rashi said that until we reach Har Grisim and Har Evol, who is responsible for even those transgressions that take place in public?
Hashem.
So the Lanu Levanenu, according to Rashi, is the shift. The responsibility for Niglot is not ours. Who is the responsibility for Niglot? Hashem Elokeinu, until you reach Har Grisim and Har Evol. According to Chizkuni, it's the exact opposite. Once you reach Har Grisim and Har Evol, who now takes responsibility even for Nistarot? We do. Lanu Ulevanenu are not only going to be responsible for Niglot, but Lanu Ulevanenu will be responsible even for what? Nistarot.
Irrespective of crossing. Yes.
Correct. So now, where should the dot have been, according to Chizkuni? No. Who are you? Look how Rashi works. Rashi took the dots to say that the people, the words underneath the dot are not a responsibility. It says niglot lanu vaneinu. The dots are there to tell you, no, not lanu vaneinu, not yet. Who is responsible? HaKadosh Baruch
Hu.
Ah, according to Chizkuni. Where should the dots be? Hashem Elokeinu. That's the question which Chizkuni was. If we are transferring responsibility, that God is not going to be held responsible even for that which takes place in your living room. Not going to be responsible. We're responsible. I'm responsible for what happens in your living room. You're responsible for what happens in my living room. Then the dots should not be on Lanu Levanenu. They should be where? On Hashem Elokeinu. Continues Chizkuni, he'll tell you why. V'im tomar, if you shall ask. In Cain, if the pshat is the way I just suggested it, dimamatinu minisarot min Hashem Elokeinu, that if I'm saying that God will no longer be responsible for punishing nisarot, hayalo lin kot al Hashem Elokeinu, ela ein derech kavod lin kot alav. It's inappropriate to put dots on Hashem's name. Why? It's as if you're erasing it. So remember I told you, what's the purpose of dots? What's the purpose of a dot? Correct. In ancient times, where writing was on stone, if you wanted to erase something or indicate don't take it too seriously, you couldn't erase it. You put a dot on top of it.
Sure.
Derech L'chokan. We've seen examples. I've showed you a couple of examples. So here too, whenever there is a dot on a word or a letter, it's designed to teach me, make believe it's erased. So if you erase Hashem Elokeinu, how does the pasuk read? If you erase Hashem Elokeinu, how does the pasuk read? Hanisarot v'hamiglot lanu vaneinu. Which is the way Chizkuni is learning it. But I don't want to erase Hashem's name. So where did I shift the dots to? To lanu vaneinu. And now Chizkuni proves it. How many letters are there in Lashem Elokeinu? How many letters?
I'm guessing 11.
How many letters are there in Hashem Elokeinu?
11 indeed.
11. How many letters are on Lamed Vav? Only 10. That's why he claims the first letter of Adam had to be had a down on it also.
I wonder why
that's for the earth. You needed an extra dot on the letter Ayin. You needed an extra dot on the letter Ayin because in order to carry over the 11 letters of Lashem Elokeinu, there weren't 11 letters in Lanu Levanein. So symbolically, I carry the words of the oration, of God's name, Lashem Elokeinu, and I highlight it by saying, it's Lanu Levanein, Ayin. There are 11 letters that should have been erased. Don't take them too seriously, because things are going to change.
So,
hold on 1 second. So, according to Rashi, what you do is you erase the Lanu Levanein. Because until we come to Grizim and Eval, Hashem is responsible for everything. So how does the Pasuk now read according to Rashi? Hanistarot v'haniglot. To whom? Hashem Elokeinu. God's responsible for everything. Because we have not yet accepted the principle of responsibility, of Arevut. According to Chizkuni, it's just the opposite.
According to Rashi, there's no explanation why the dot is carried.
Correct. Rashi didn't, he didn't say anything because he had nothing to say. Correct. And that's the question. Why according to Rashi should there be a dot on the letter
Ayin? I understand. According to Rashi, you could explain of the
11,
because you could include the
space
between, but it wouldn't make sense about the
time. Right? Exactly. What would it be there? Says Chizkuni, I have the answer. Because I really want to read the Pasuk, Hanistarot, Vehaniglot, Lanu Levaneinu. And I'm erasing Hashem's name. And I don't want to erase Hashem's name. So I, in order, as Derech Eretz to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, I put the dot on Lanu Levaneinu. But there are only 10 letters in Lanu Levaneinu, and in order to convey the idea, I have to have 11 letters raised. Therefore, I shifted it and I put an extra dot on the word Ayin, on the letter Ayin. Kacha Omer Chizkuni. But what Chizkuni is confirming, that what is the purpose of dots? What is the purpose of the dot?
Right.
Make believe it's not there. Make believe it's not there. I just remind you of one of the several illustrations that I give you. Yaakov's encounter with Esav. It says, Vayishakehu. He hugged him and he did what?
Hissed him.
And what does Rashi say? He bit him. Nishicha. How did Rashi know? Where does he get Nishicha? Because there are dots. Don't erase that word. It doesn't say Vayishakehu. It should say Vayishakehu. He bit him. So that's the function of the dot. Chizkuni is saying it right there and then. Yes?
My question is why so we have to open names. That, you know, punishment can be visited on future generations? Or does it mean that the sons are held responsible.
No, according to, this is nothing to do with future generations. It's talking about the generation at the time.
That's sitting
right in front of you. In a particular generation, after the Harbis and Haribo, we are responsible for everything that happens amongst ourselves.
Okay, but it could have
just been right.
So oh. why
that's a good question. Good question.
I don't know. Yeah.
Going back to Rachel's question about the asterisk on in the previous pasuk, Vayashlichem.
Right. Why the lamed?
On the lamed. Now it says on the bottom here, lamed rabati.
And that means big.
Oh, big.
Rabati means big.
Okay.
As opposed to zira, which
okay.
means small.
So
it just tells you that when you write the Sefer Torah, make sure it's a big lamed.
So
it doesn't tell you why.
If you could reduce that, if you could take that one out also. Because there's also an asterisk like that right before the Lanu Levaneinu.
Right, but that's only, that asterisk is a printer who just alerts you to something unusual here.
Oh.
So the printer says, not good, that there are dots. That's all.
Okay.
there's so, something unusual.
My other real question, which was on Rosh Hashanah, and when we say Hanistarot, is it in this context, or isn't it more like...
Give me another minute, I'll read the Ramban. He quotes our Siddur. Give me one more minute, I'll do the Ramban. The Ramban goes ahead and quotes our davening. And he comes up with a different interpretation based on the davening. Let's read it. So we have two interpretations thus far. Yes.
We're both wondering.
The collaborative effort.
It makes sense for the words to be there with us, according to Rashi, because sometimes you need them, sometimes you don't. But according to Chikuni, why is Hashem Elokeinu even there if it's supposed to be erased?
No, because right now it's Hashem Elokeinu. Is only going forward after Grisim and Eva. Something's going to change after Grisim and Eva. Except the something is the Rashi and Kaskuni are arguing, what's the something?
So, when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing this, who wrote this? To know to put the dust there?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know, certainly not the printer. I don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah that he came down with had that. I'm not an expert in that. You have to ask people who deal with texts. I'm not sure who introduced the dots. I can't answer that question. Don't know. But every Sefer Torah has dots. Every Sefer Torah that I know of has dots.
Sephardi also?
Sephardi as well as Ashkenazi. Yes. Yes. In fact, Chasuni just ends off his remark by saying, Amaylo Pirish Rashi Kan Nekudat Ayin Sheba'ad. He asks, why did Rashi comment? What is the dot on the letter Ayin? How come? He only commented in Lonu Levaneinu. That's why my answer says Chasuni is correct. Please flip back the page to Reish Nun Bet.
I said to one question. The 11 letters are for
Hanisa Rav
Lashem or
Lashem
Elokeinu?
Lashem Elokeinu.
Because they're both
11
letters.
Lashem Elokeinu. Okay. No problem. You think that's a lot of them. I know. Yes. Good. Now let's take a look at the Ramban. Go back to page Reish Nun Bet. You see Ramban on the right-hand side of the column. Who calls the dominant? Yes. So let's take a look at the Ramban. Vida'ati, it's in the middle of the Ramban, six lines in. You see there's a little number 27. Five, six lines in, right next to the next word, right next to the next word after number 27. Vida'ati, b'derech ha'pshat. My interpretation, according to the pshat, ki hanistarot heim hachata'im hanistarim min ha'osim otam. Whoa! How powerful. What does that mean? What?
You're unaware of the fact that you're engaging in transgression.
You're unaware of
it yourself. You're unaware of it yourself. In other words, there will come a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open our eyes and show us that this action, that action was something wrong. At the time, I didn't even know I was doing something wrong.
And in fact, he gets this idea from the davening on Yom Kippur. The davening on Yom Kippur, that's the note underneath, which says, Es hagaluyim lanu karamarnim lefanecha. Those Averot which we know about, we've just declared. We said, I'll hate this. The Esh'einam Giluyim,
Lefanecha ken geluyim viduim. In your world, you are Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, for you, there's nothing which is nisarot. And then two lines later, what pasuk do we quote? Hanisarot l'Hashem elokim. V'haniglot lanu levanei. So how does the Ramban deal with the letter, with the dot on the letter? How does, he doesn't even say it. How does the Ramban deal with the dots on the letters? How is he interpreting this sophisticated manner? That this tarot means transgressions which we ourselves don't know. We ourselves don't know. What? How's the Ramban reading the pasuk now? What? The niglot are obviously lanu levanei. Niglot are obviously, we say it, al chetes, al chetes. But there comes a time when even the nistarot will be whose? Lanu levanei.
Oh, really?
God will share with you one day what you did at 1:20 on a Wednesday afternoon. April the 1st. He will identify that for you. When is that going to happen, of course? When is that going to happen? When is this, when do you suddenly become informed of things that you thought you were doing all of a sudden?
After 120 years.
After 120 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, Warner Wolf's famous line, let's go to videotape. Let's go to videotape. That's all. Because he will ask you, he's going to try to prompt you. He'll ask you, what did you do on July 27th at 1:04 p.m.? I don't know. Go to videotape. So at that time, the nistarot will not only be Hashem Elokim, but the niglot will be, the nistarot will be just like the niglot. There will come such a time. It could be some belief that the Ramban doesn't mean when what? When what? When you're going to go to Olam Ha'emes?
No.
But it means Riyamot HaMashiach. When every person will now have the capacity to recognize and identify every single action, will be able to be scrutinized, not by others, but by whom? That's the great enlightenment that will come about Riyamot HaMashiach. That we will have the capacity to see ourselves what is right and what is inappropriate. Not to have to be told by someone else. By someone else. So that's how the Ramban understands this. That's how the Ramban understands this.
A much more prosaic interpretation would be that sometimes one sins without knowing it because, I mean, for instance, you thought you ate something that was kosher and it turned out that it wasn't. Or it's something that you did that you have no way of knowing at the time. So that would be what we talk about on Yom Kippur more, wouldn't it? I mean, this is a much more
yes.
future-oriented.
Correct. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Now, if you look at Unkelus, on the top left-hand side of the page, Ramban is going to summon Unkelus to prove that he's right. The Ramban is going to summon Unkelus to prove that he is right, that my interpretation is the correct one. And he cites Unkelus, and he writes, look at the top left-hand side. Demitamran, that means, that's the Aramaic of Nistar, that which is hidden, Kadam Hashem Elohana. It means it's in the presence of God. Says the Ramban. If it meant the way Rashi said, that God is going to be the one who's punishing, it should have said, Dimitaran, not Kadam, but Lashem, with a Lamed. Lashem Elohana. That if God is the one who's going to issue punishment, it should have attributed those Averot which are Nistar, God's going to punish you for. It doesn't say that. It says, Demitamran, those that are what? Hidden, Kadam Hashem Elohana, are known to God. Namely,
those weaknesses, those inappropriate activities, which we don't know about, are only to Hashem. So he believes that Unkelus supports his reading of this particular text. So in which case we have three interpretations about how the phrase reads. Rashi, that we are referring to, two of the three believe that Grizim in Eval represent a significant change. Rashi, before Grizim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for everything. For Nistarot and Niglot. That's why there are Datsan Lonu Levaneinu. Because Niglot, we are not responsible until we've accepted responsibility for one another. At Har Grizim, that's when it took place. After Har Grizim, it'll be Niglot, Lonu Levaneinu. Not before. Therefore, there are Dats. Chizkuni. No. After Har Grizim, we are responsible not only for Niglot, but even for Nistarot. We are responsible for Nistarot. And the dot should have been on Lashem Elokeinu. But it's inappropriate to put the words on dot on Lashem Elokeinu, and therefore you switched it to Lanu Levaneinu and the letter Ayin, because there are 11 letters in Lashem Elokeinu. Which now tells us that after Grizim, HaNistarot, V'aniglot, Lanu Levaneinu. Ramban, Nistar has nothing to do with transgressions that somebody else is doing. It's activities which we ourselves are doing. And that's the greatest transgression. That's the greatest crime. Not what you commit against someone else. It's the crime you commit against yourself. That you're not honest. You're not completely aware of what you're doing. You're so much in the blind that you don't understand what you're doing yourself. So HaNistarot, right now, is only Lashem Elokeinu. But there will come a time where it will be Nistarot V'HaNiglot Lanu Levaneinu. One day HaKadosh Baruch Hu will share that with us. Either it could mean after 120, or it possibly could mean as a vision of what is the clarity that a person will have L'Yamot HaMashiach. Liyamot HaMashiach, La'asot et kol divrei HaTorah
zot. Yes. But it could also mean that you should be constantly aware and on guard of what you're doing.
Of course.
And not be
1,000%. No doubt about it.
So you don't have to wait for a report.
Correct. That's by somebody who killed.
Right, you find it.
Correct. Egla Arufa.
Egla Arufa. So it's a peculiar kind of thing.
That's correct.
We basically said that you are responsible.
Yeah.
We're not responsible.
And I'll give you even a halachic issue. Let me ask you this: if in the United States you see somebody who's in trouble and you don't want to get involved, are you right? Can you be criminally prosecuted because you don't want to be a good Samaritan?
Yes.
Criminally prosecuted?
Not in
this country. Only one state has it on law. State of Oregon.
Yeah.
Only one. Research this. Only one. Yet, we have that. What violation do you violate? Lo ta'amod adam reyacha. I have a responsibility to help somebody else. It's a legal responsibility. You can't say, I don't want to get involved. Yeah, it's too much of a risk. You have no right to say that.
But if a mother, I mean, child abuse, if somebody sees it going on or a doctor doesn't report it.
He has an obligation to report it. He's got an obligation to report it.